Today on The Journey.
Power of the Holy Spirit changes our denials to proclamation, changes our fear to courage, our inability to do anything for God, to do anything God wants us to do.
Living with boldness and beyond yourself is living as God intended. But that life will require His power and His presence. Without that, the quest will fail. With it, you can turn the world upside down. Today, Ron Moore shares that power and how you can walk in it day by day. It's an adventure on the far side of understanding with a person who lives inside your heart. Listen and be changed. Also, we want to send you a copy of Ron's engaging devotional, The Greatest Text Message. It contains short meditations that direct your thoughts to the Word of God and the God of the Word. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with part one of the message, Changed, Ignited by the Fire, On the Journey.
We've been involved in a series of sermons through the book of Acts. And if there's one operative word in the book of Acts, it's changed. Not changed just to have it ourselves, but changed to share it with other people. We have seen in Acts chapter 2, the brand new church and the change that came about in those first believers as they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Then today, we're going to see who brings about change in the life of a person. Now, what I want to do is to paint two pictures of the same person. I want to read two stories in the life of the Apostle Peter. He's a major player in the first part of Acts. And as I'm reading these stories, I want you to think of words that would describe these stories that I'm going to read. First, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 22. First story, verse 54. Then seizing him, Christ, they led him away and took him to the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight, and she looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. And about an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered the words the Lord has spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." Look at verse 62. He went out and wept bitterly. Now, what words would you use to describe that picture of Peter? How about words like passive? He followed at a distance. Disloyal. He denied Jesus not once, but three times. Weak, fearful, failure, and then defeated. He went out and wept bitterly. Now here was a man who had followed Jesus. He had seen him heal the sick. He had seen him raise the dead. He had seen him calm the storm. He had even watched Jesus walk on water. But even with that knowledge, even with the experience of being with Jesus, when it came time to stand up for Christ at one of those line in the sand moments, he caved in. Now, fast forward 7 weeks and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. And then look at verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it is impossible for death to keep hold on him. And then verse 36. Therefore, Peter says, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, what words would you use to describe that picture of Peter? How about words like bold, courageous, confident, decisive, and clear? What happened to Peter between Luke 22 and Acts chapter 2? Let me ask you a question. If you had to put yourself in one of those pictures, would it be a Luke 22 picture or would it be an Acts 2 picture? Where do you live most of the time? Disloyal or loyal? Fearful or bold? Feeling a failure or able to stand up and proclaim the message of Christ? Or maybe you're like me and sometimes you're in Acts 2 and sometimes you're in Luke 22 and you go back and forth. Where do you spend most of the time in that picture? Today we're going to learn that the same thing that changed Peter is the same thing that can change us. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2 opens. We see it's the day of Pentecost. It's a mandatory Jewish celebration. It's called the First Fruits. And that first fruit celebration, also called Pentecost, was purposed to thank God for His provision of food. The people would bring the first of the barley harvest to God. And also, all the worshipers would come and not only bring their barley harvest, those who were farmers, but everyone would bring a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice. And because it was an animal sacrifice, everyone had to go to Jerusalem on this mandatory feast to the temple there. Some traveled long distance. The feast was 50 days from the Passover. Remember, the Passover was the day Jesus was crucified. He rose on the third day, and in chapter 1, we see that he walked and appeared among his disciples for 40 days. And before he ascended into heaven, he told about 120 people gathered there, wait for me in Jerusalem. And they're going to find out that it was well worth the wait. Look at chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So there was an audible sound like a gale force wind. Didn't necessarily feel the wind, but it was a sound like it. Now, we can understand what that was like with all the hurricanes that have been going on lately from television. You can relate to what a gale force wind sounded like. Look at verse 3. Then they saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So they not only heard the wind, but they saw this fire, pillars of fire. Now picture that. Two powerful emblems of the Spirit, wind and fire. Look at verse 4. Then all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. As evidence that the Holy Spirit had come upon them, they started speaking in different languages. These were known languages they had neither studied nor spoken. Now, why is it important these people were speaking in different languages? There was a purpose for that. Remember what was happening? Pentecost, a mandatory feast that a Jewish worshiper had to come to. Remember, the Jews by this time were dispersed throughout the world. And so here are people coming from all kinds of different places in the world who probably kept their Hebrew language, but now they speak the other languages clearly. Look at verse 5. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, what was the sound? When they heard the sound of their own languages, A crowd came together in bewilderment because each of them heard them speaking in his own language. These people were amazed at that. Look at verse 11. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? And God used this phenomenon of these men speaking in unknown languages, languages unknown to them, known to the hearers. Why does he use it? He uses it as a sign. He uses it as a way to get the attention of the crowd. And it worked. Now, some said that means nothing. These men are drunk. They are out of their minds. And then it's Peter who stands up and he says, it's too early to be drunk. There's something else going on here. Look at verse 15. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, it is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all the people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. Peter says, this is what Joel the prophet wrote about long ago. These men aren't drunk. These men are not out of their minds. This was exactly what Joel said would happen. Now look at verses 19 and 20. I saw wonders in the heavens and signs on the earth below, fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord. Now what do you think that may have been referring to? Do you remember what happened on the afternoon that Christ was crucified? Darkness came on the earth. Luke says about the 6th hour, darkness came over the whole earth until the 9th hour, for the sun stopped shining. So these people, just 7 weeks earlier, had seen these wonders that Joel the prophet had talked about. F.F. Bruce, in his commentary, says that some think the moon, which was full at Passover time, would have appeared blood red because of the abnormal occurrence during the day. So these people had seen, more than likely with their own eyes, what Joel the prophet was talking about. Peter says, this is what we've been waiting for. Just like the Old Testament prophet Joel foretold. This is it. We're living it and we're experiencing it today. Now, let's go back and look at those two pictures of Peter. What happened between Luke 22 and Acts 2? Who changed Peter from a Luke 22 denier to an Acts 2 proclaimer of Jesus Christ? What happened? Remember in Acts 1:8, Jesus said this, and you will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. There was something else that came before that, wasn't there? But you will receive power. Here's the change. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that changes Peter from Luke 22 to Acts 2. The power of the Holy Spirit changes our denials to proclamation, changes our fear to courage, our inability to do anything for God, to do anything God wants us to do. When I talk to Christians, or sometimes people before they're Christians, there's a common thread that seems to run through the thinking of most people. They say, yeah, you know, the Christian life is inviting. I certainly want to go to heaven when I die, but I just can't live the Christian life. I'm around enough Christians to know there are some expectations. I'm around enough Christians to know there are some things that you're supposed to do. And I can't do those things. So I can't be a Christian because I can't do those things. And I say, you are exactly right. You're right. You can't do those things. You're right. There are some expectations. And you're right. You cannot do those things on your own. You cannot change yourself. And I can't either. So if we're going to go from Luke 22 to Acts 2, something has to change us. Someone has to change us. We can't live the Christian life on our own. We can't even come to Christ on our own. It's the Holy Spirit who works within us. Yes, we play a part. We'll talk about that. But let's see this inside-out change that has to take place if we're really going to be the Christian that God's called us to be, or if we're going to be a Christian in the first place. Here's the first one. Conviction. It's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction. It's the Spirit of God that exposes the reality of our situation and shows us the mess we are in. He does that before we come to Christ. He is the one who brings conviction to our hearts that this is not the life we want to live. As Christians, the Holy Spirit tells us, you dropped the ball, you sinned, you've fallen. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to get back up and seek forgiveness. John chapter 16, Jesus says, when He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment, in regard to sin because men do not believe in Me, in regard to righteousness because I'm going to the Father where you can no longer see Me. So Jesus said, I'm not going to be here to continue to tell you how to live the righteous life. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world stands condemned. It's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction. To convict means to present or expose the facts, to convince of truth. When we feel conviction, we shouldn't push it away. That's the work of God in our life. The Spirit of God is getting our attention, exposing some messes in our life, and telling us what the truth is, so He can help us do something about it. Secondly, transformation. Not only is there conviction, but transformation. Look at Titus chapter 3. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done. See, it wasn't us from the very beginning, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Scripture says we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. A spiritual corpse can't lift its finger. A corpse cannot move. We were spiritually dead. It's the Spirit who came and breathed life into us and caused us to say, I believe, I trust in Jesus Christ. Our hearts were washed, we were cleansed, our sins forgiven, we were reborn, we were made spiritually alive, we were renewed by not something we did, but the Holy Spirit of God. Thirdly, baptism. Baptism of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now, don't confuse this with water baptism. Here is spiritual baptism. And here are some important points about spiritual baptism. First of all, it is experienced by every Christian the moment they believe. It's not some second work of grace. When we trusted in Christ, we were baptized by one Spirit into one body. Spirit baptism identifies us with the body of Christ. Spirit baptism is a one-time for all-time event. Sealing of the Spirit. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Won't read all that, but here Paul says that the Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. It seals us. Like in the New Testament, families had family rings. And when they did letters, they folded the letters, they put wax on the seal, they took their family ring and put the seal on the wax. So when you received it, you knew it was from this family, identified who it was from. It also, you could see if it had been tampered with. And here, Paul says that the Holy Spirit is our seal. Our lives, in a sense, have been folded, and He has stamped His seal on us, and He won't break it. It's our guarantee that we're going to live with God forever. There's the indwelling of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians says that, don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit comes to live in you. There's the filling of the Spirit. Now, up to this point, everything happens one time for all time. But it's an important point today. The filling of the Spirit means that we submit ourselves to the Spirit every day in every situation. Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Paul is saying, don't be controlled by outward substances and don't be controlled by outward situations in life. Rather, be filled or be controlled by the Spirit. Remember, everything to this point has been one time for all, but the filling of the Spirit is moment by moment, day by day. So I'm going into a situation. I know that in that situation, I have the tendency to get angry. So what's my prayer? Lord, control my emotions when I go in this. I'll blow it on my own. I'm facing a temptation on my own. I know I will fall flat. I'll cave in. Lord, I got to have strength to get through this. I know on my own. I don't have the discernment to stay away from it, and I know on my own I'll compromise. Filling of the Spirit, day by day by day. Now, if there's one thing the Spirit does, if there's one focal point of His many faceted ministry, it is this. The Holy Spirit makes God's presence real in our heart. Testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. If you've trusted in Christ, it's because the Holy Spirit has transformed you from the inside out. And the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. And you now have the strength and the power to do whatever God calls you to do. Will you always do it? No. Do you have to sin? No. Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you.
And please stay with us. Ron will be back with a special announcement right after this. Have you ever had an Emmaus Road experience? A moment when the scriptures blazed with new understanding and you knew God had spoken to your soul. And now, looking back, you can exclaim along with the Emmaus disciples, were not our hearts burning within us while He was speaking to us on the road? Well, Ron Moore wants you to look forward to such moments in the days ahead. He takes you to that place in his engaging devotional, The Greatest Text Message. There, in bite-sized meditations, Ron lays a solid foundation for the authority of the Bible. You'll discover the men God used to communicate His Word, the supernatural preservation of the Scriptures down through the centuries, and a new call to embrace its living truth. The Greatest Text Message is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a special announcement.
Hey, I have a special announcement for all our Pittsburgh area listeners. We'd love to have you join us at the Bible Chapel in the South Hills, that's in McMurray, for Journey to the Cross. Journey to the Cross is a walk-through reflection of our Lord's final hours, and this is a great event for adults and for children as well. Actually, it's a very hands-on experience. You can count the 30 coins like those used to betray Jesus. You can also hold in your hands replicas of the nails used to pierce the Savior's hands. And for a unique experience, you'll be able to smell the incense used to prepare the body of Jesus for burial. So come and join us and connect in a fresh way with the passion of Jesus as He journeyed to the cross just for you. Join us at our South Hills campus for Journey to the Cross, which runs from April 16th to April 18th. That's April 16th through the 18th from 6 to 9 p.m. and on Friday, April 19th from 10 in the morning till 6 in the evening. And for more information, you can go to our website, BibleChapel.org. Again, 300 Gallery Drive in McMurray, and visit our website, BibleChapel.org. We hope to see you there, and as always, thank you for joining us on the journey.
And we also want you to have a copy of Ron's devotional, The Greatest Text Message, to help direct your thoughts to the Word of God and the God of the Word. The Greatest Text Message is yours for a gift of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Rostraver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.